tuned to KDWA FM 97.7 AM 1460. Welcome to another edition of Talk Real Estate, brought to you by the Realtors of Edina Realty in Hastings. We have in our studios today the very brilliant teacher. I'm going to call you a teacher, okay. Pam Collins.
That's fine. I love it, actually, when my buyers and my sellers say to me things like, oh, you explain things really well, then it makes me feel good because that's what I want to do. So
yes, you're a teacher.
In my heart, I am, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, are you enjoying the weather?
Yes, finally. I mean, yeah, you know, finally. It keeps teasing, though. You just, you know, yeah. We'll have these hot days, and then all of a sudden you get up the next morning and you have to put a jacket on.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But we'll take it.
Yeah.
You bet. Well, how are sales in your office this week, Pam?
You know, I think everybody is kind of feeling that joy because the buyers are getting out, you know, and buyers and sellers and stuff. In fact, when I was driving over here, do you remember that musical Oklahoma?
Yes.
There was a song in it, and I was going, June is busting out all over, you know, because that's kind of what it's doing.
Yeah.
I'm really, really busy. In fact, you know, you always ask me if I have a home that I want to feature, and my problem is they're selling so dad burn fast that I don't have time to talk. Just this past week, I tried something different, and I'm going to be continuing to do this because it went really well. A house came on the market, and I thought, I don't want to wait until Saturday to do an open house. And so we did an open house on Wednesday evening, you know, right after work, and had a great turnout, and the house went into multiple offers, and it sold already, you know. It just took one day. So, busy.
A pent-up demand?
Yeah, it is.
You think?
The demand, you know, it's been pent up for a few years now. And, it's still there, you
mm-hmm.
know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what sellers have to do is really get your house on the market first. That's the safest way to do it. And you can always say it's going to be contingent on you finding something. And I tell you, more often than not, when you get out there, you're probably going to find something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Pam, how can folks get a hold of you?
Give me a call. 651-319-1298.
Again, our realtor today, Pam Collins from Edina Realty of Hastings. Or if the number, if they're driving, we don't want you to stop and write. But you could call the main office at 651-437-2121 and just ask for Pam. You're the only Pam in the Hastings office.
Yep, and they'll just forward the call on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to our topic of the week. Why isn't my home selling?
Yeah, it's kind of a negative thing, but, you know, I've been doing questions, you know, for the last mm-hmm. couple times
yep.
we've been together, and I thought I'm going to spend one whole week talking about this question.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this market, like we were just saying, it really still is would be considered a seller's market. And one of the reasons the way they determine that is that the amount of homes that are available right now, how long if no additional homes came on the market, how long they would last.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have a fairly balanced market, have maybe 6 months, you know, 3 to 6 mm-hmm. months worth. And it's way less than that right now. I don't know the exact, but I've seen 2-3 months. So
you
really want it to mm-hmm. Have more homes on the market. That being said, then, if you have your home on the market and it's been sitting there for a while and hasn't budged, there's probably a reason for it. But I will clarify, this is in maybe under 400, you know,
okay.
it range. When you get in the upper ranges, it takes a little bit longer just because there's a smaller pool of people that can afford mm-hmm. to buy your home. But we're talking, you know, if you've got something under 200, oh my word, it should be flying off the shelf. 200-300, you know, same
thing. Not going to get stale.
No, not in this market. So, and this, I'm doing this as a favor to any, you know, maybe the agent that you're working with, you're getting frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you should have listed with me instead. But, mm-hmm. there are things that you can do. Want some ideas?
Yes. Yeah, I was going to ask you, why is it that, you know, that it isn't selling? There's got to be some ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the first thing that I would ask is, did you overvalue the property? And, you know, I know it's your home, and you know what a beautiful home it is, and how much you love it, and how much many memories you have and stuff, but you have to be kind of more mathematical about it and take the emotion out of it.
Bingo, because it's really, to us, it's our home. To someone else, it's a house.
Yeah.
And there is a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And so what your agent probably did or should do, if they haven't already, is do an analysis of the houses, similar homes, two places. Look in your neighborhood, because if you have the most biggest, fanciest, most expensive house on the neighborhood, in your neighborhood, it's probably going to drag the value of your house down just a little bit, because people don't want to spend a whole lot more than what the general neighborhood is going for. So you need to look at those. You need to see what your immediate neighborhood is going for. And then you need to look at homes in the market that are similar. And some of the factors that they would look at would be the year it was built. You want from the same general era. You know, something built in the 50s to early 60s, you know, something quite new, something's in the 70s and 80s. Maybe if it was, you know, closer to the 1900s, you know, you got to compare it apples to apples. And then how many stories does it have? Believe it or not, that really is an important factor.
Okay.
If you have a one story, chances are you might get a little bit more for it, especially if all the living is one level, master bedroom, washer, dryer, things like that. There are so many factors that play in. So you need to just be totally objective and look at what else is on the market and price accordingly. And if anything, price it just below what you would say the sweet spot or the market value would be, because, I mean, not low, but just on the low side. If there's a range, you're going to invite multiple offers in that
offers.
Way. Yeah.
It has to be tough as a realtor, because we as human beings feel that what we have is really valuable.
Yeah.
How do you talk a potential customer down? You know, I mean, that has to be, like you say, emotions are involved, and that's the worst thing when you're trying to deal with people's emotions and their finances. How do you go about that?
Well, mostly it has to. You just have to look at the facts. And when you look at the facts, it can become very clear, you know. And, you know, sometimes it might help to just go out and look at some houses. You know, just take, an afternoon and look at similarly priced houses and similar style houses. And then that may give you a very more realistic view, because you got to see what your competition is. And if you realize, oh man, I'm priced at $350, but when I look at other $350 houses, $350,000, I can see, boy, why would they buy mine? Because I don't have these updates that these other ones do. Maybe I would be better off listing it at $300. You know, that's one way to do it. And sometimes, I guess what I usually say, and this is the fact, it doesn't matter what you want to sell it for. It doesn't matter what you need to sell it for. It doesn't even matter what I say you should sell it for. The market itself is going to tell you what it's worth. And when the offers start all coming in quite a bit lower than what you offer, what you asked for it, you got to say to yourself, there's a reason for this. Why are they, you know? And it's interesting, a house that I just sold this past week, the offers all came in almost identical. They were almost identical. And they actually got about $3,000 above what they were asking for it, and that's what everybody was telling them it was worth. So the market will tell you.
What do you do? You just brought up something very interesting. If you have three of them that come in, they're all the same, do you have to go back to each one of them, or how do you choose if you're the winner? Or you put their number, their names in a hat?
Yeah. It can be heart-wrenching, honestly.
Okay.
It really can be heart-wrenching, yes. Because you, you know, they can all be really, really nice people. And then it comes down to very fine little things like as a seller's agent, I call the lenders and I have a heart to heart with them, and I want to know how far along they are in the appraisal process, for example. And I might find out that one is already fully, not appraisal, but underwriting process, one might be fully underwritten already. And that means that the underwriters have already checked out and confirmed their employment, their credit, debt to credit ratio, their credit. I mean, they've already done all that work that you wait to get done. And they're like, we're ready to go. We're just waiting to have a purchase agreement to attach it to. And of course, it does have to appraise. You know, the bank has to appraise it. And then where somebody else is like, yeah, well, they came in and they told us that they do this, this, and this, and based on that, you know, but we still have to confirm all those things. Well, in that case, the first one would be a much stronger offer, and I would encourage the sellers to probably move with that one, you know. Okay. Sometimes they have a flexible close date. There are so many, you know, other variables other than just the price.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I did not know that. I just learned something. So would it be a correct statement, Pam, to say it's good to have most of your banking confirmed and all of that stuff before you go out?
Because
you could lose.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was actually a deciding factor in the last deal. And in fact, I've got to bring our lender in, because one of the new programs that they do is it can take her maybe 5 days because they have to get all the documentation in, but they can. This is incredible. When my buyer now that uses Edina Realty Mortgage brings an offer in, they can say we are fully, completely underwritten. So it takes a huge weight off of the sellers, you know, and they will give a guarantee, over $12,000. I think it's $12,500 if it falls through because of the financing. Once they have done their, you know, underwritten it and given it the, you know, you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, you know, if I had two offers in my hand and I had one with that kind of a guarantee, oh boy, you know which one we would take.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So is that something new? The guarantee.
Brand new.
Okay.
Brand spanking new. Yeah.
Wow, that's going to give a lot of players, let's call them, or buyers, mm-hmm. a leg up on.
Yeah, yeah. So, in fact, that's one reason. If you are a buyer and you're thinking, you know, maybe in a month or so I might be seriously looking, get a hold of me right now, because mm-hmm. we could get all that stuff in place the day one that you start going out looking, and it would make you a very, very strong buyer.
Mm-hmm. Wow, to have a guarantee, and if not, then... Mm-hmm. You get $12,000?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, how can folks get a hold of you?
Give me a call, 651-319-1298.
Or, again, you can call Edina Realty's Hastings office at 651-437-2121 and just ask for Pam. She's the only Pam there, or the teaching lady.
Yeah.
The teaching realtor, we'll call you. The teacher realtor.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there are any other teachers there. Oh, there might be. No, but I...
Well, we've officially crowned you that.
I am officially. Okay, thank
you. We've officially crowned you that.
Okay, now I haven't gotten through my list yet, and I know we're already going to run out of time. Can I go through them really fast?
Sure, well, of course.
Another reason that your house might still be on the market is that the listing itself is poor. The pictures that are taken are not that good. Oh, my word. Sometimes the photos are awful, and I'm thinking, what were they thinking? Because people look a lot online, and they make judgments on if they want to see their house or not. So you look at your listing online and see if you're happy with it, and maybe there can some changes that could be made. And also, if you are always there during the showings, that is not good. And I know there are some sellers that want to be, but I'm just saying.
Really? I didn't know people would be there when there's a showing.
Well, they normally aren't.
Okay.
They normally aren't. But it really makes buyers uncomfortable.
Comfortable, yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah. So it would be better if you weren't. Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, I was at a showing, and they were there, and they were, like, following us around the house, telling us how wonderful it was. And I'm like, oh, come on, don't do that. And also, you might say things you probably shouldn't say, you know, give away. Information. So, and we kind of touched on this other one, you know, being too attached to your home, mm-hmm. where you're offended if, you know, they give you a little bit lower offer and you won't compromise at all. You just got to stuff your emotions in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And this is a business deal for most people. And don't, you know, it's okay. You can budge a little bit, $1,000 here, you know, do whatever it takes to come to agreement with a potential buyer if you can.
I couldn't imagine, you know, some potential buyers around.
Yeah, that would be quite rare.
Trying to answer their questions, because there becomes a point where maybe they're offended and the two of you are really at wit's end.
Buyers, generally, we're Minnesota nice around here, and you're never going to want to say something to offend the sellers.
Yes.
And so, I mean, when you're looking at a house, you do things like you open up the cupboard doors and stuff. You want to know how well they open, if they, you know, open and close, mm-hmm. or if they've mm-hmm. got the soft close. You open up closet doors. You want to see how big the closet is, and you wouldn't feel comfortable doing some of those things with the mm-hmm. person there. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, just get out of the house.
Yeah, exactly.
At a minimum, if you really, really can't leave, pour yourself a cup of coffee and go sit in the backyard, you know, or something at least.
There you go.
And, you know, another thing, and it's this is kind of a touchy subject, but if you haven't had your home professionally, you know, cleaned or really nice and clean, it's not going to show well. You know, your windows, you want those clean. You want your carpet to be clean if you can. You know, if it's an issue where you really can't, just understand it's going to decrease the value of your home when you sell it, because people are going to figure they're going to have to replace the carpet. Just get it as clean, sparkly clean as you possibly can. That's really important. And then also, it might be because you haven't staged your home. And I don't mean hiring a professional stager. I mean, if you can, that's a good idea. But especially if it's vacant, you want to have a little bit of furniture in there. People like that. It feels more homey if you can have a couch sitting in the living room. Just a little bit of something in there. It takes the edge off the starkness of it. Mm-hmm. And the same thing if you... The other, you know, extreme is if you've done no clearing out of stuff, you know, you're still living there. I always tell my sellers, like if you're looking at, for example, the kitchen counter, take your arm, stick it out, and then run it all the way down the counter, and everything your arm runs into, you put in a drawer, you tuck away, you get rid of, because you want it bare except for maybe a few specifically placed items.
Mm-hmm.
The last home that I just sold, I was so proud of my sellers because we did that. I mean, the house was nice. They were living in it, and they had a lot of their personal things up. But I said, you know, if we wanted to show well, and then I did my, you know, cleared out. And the next time I walked in there, they had done exactly that. Every horizontal surface had been wiped clean, except that there was maybe just one, maybe two things sitting there. It looked so good. You know, that's what you want to be able to do. So if you've got too many knickknacks sitting around, you just got to tuck them away.
Yeah, clutter is not good.
Nope. And if you've got, you don't have to take all your family pictures down, but if your walls are filled with pictures of your family and a lot of personal stuff, it's okay to take most of that down. Just leave one or two maybe well-placed things, but, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen entire walls filled with family photos, which is wonderful. When you're living there, you want that, but when you're selling it, you don't want it. They want to put their own family pictures up, not yours. And exactly. It's hard to picture it. It's hard to picture it making it your own when you're, when it's filled with the other person's, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
And same with the decor. Sometimes it's too personalized. One cute example that I heard was, okay, say like you've got this huge comic book mural up on the wall, and it's like really adorable for your kid that likes comic books, but might not be what a seller's or a buyer's looking for. Yeah. That might be a good thing to take down. And if there are too many repairs that need to be made, that's going to be a real, because this is what's happening to the buyers are going through it. They're thinking dollar signs, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Mm-hmm. And they're always overestimated a little high on what it's going to cost. And so you're better off doing the repairs yourself, if you can. Yeah. Sometimes you can't, but if you can.
Right.
So, and the last reason that it probably isn't selling is if you chose the wrong agent. So, if you're working with an agent, you know, you have a contract. So I'm not encouraging anybody to drop their agent. That would not be right. But if you haven't chosen your agent right, pick the right one. And so give me a call.
And what is your phone number?
How's that for a segue? 651-319-1298.
Okay. Well, Pam, thank you very much. It's been fun.
Yeah.
You really do a good job at explaining it.
Oh, good, good, good.
You've been listening to Talk Real Estate on KDWA. Our realtor today, Pam Collins. Again, if you want to get a hold of Pam, her cell phone number is 651-319-1298. Or you can call Edina Realty of Hastings, 651-437-2121, and ask for Pam. This is KDWA Hastings.